Welcome you and all to another episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast, where we talk about Latino everything. I switched it up, I know. We're going to keep it excited today because y'all going to like this one. Check it out. If you have not subscribed to the channel, now is the time. Go ahead and subscribe. It's free. Carlos coffee over there. Oh, no, it's a business. You good? You need some water? We got water. All righty. Subscribe because it helps us a lot. Push the Latino content on YouTube so we can be seen everywhere. Because why? We're one of the biggest communities out there. We need your support. So subscribe today. Today, we have an amazing individual. He is born in La Paz, the highest capital in the world, Bolivia. He's one of the four founding fathers, as he says, media conglomerate Up to Something Media, which is an unapologetic commentary, music, food, local culture, podcast, media spectrum. Diego Escobar, a.k.a. Bolivian Bulldog, a.k.a. the Brave Bolivian, and La Casa.
You did your research. Dang, that was...
How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on. That was an amazing intro.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for being here. You do a media, you do different things, but we're going to get to know all about that. But first, we're going to go ahead and get started with a segment that I like to call Preguntas al Chile. If you have not subscribed to the channel, I don't know what you're waiting for.
Preguntas al Chile.
Just Preguntas al Chile come with a twist sometimes. They're not the same thing. So if he did his homework, he might think he knows, but I got a surprise for him.
Check I'm ready it out. For everything.
Tacos awesome. O tortas?
Tortas.
Corn tortilla or flour tortilla?
Flour.
Anticucho or salteñas?
Oh, anticucho.
Sacta de pollo o empanada de queso?
Empanada de queso. My mom's going to hate that answer, but she's going to be mad.
Alfajores o cocadas?
Alfajores.
You're going to be shocked by this one. Sublime Clásico or Sublime Blanco?
Sublime Clásico. What? Man, I get those shifts
what?
Here.
How do what? You know Mexican Coca or Jarrito?
Mexican Coca.
Agua de horchata, Jamaica or Tamarindo?
Jamaica.
Menudo or Pozole?
Pozole.
Valentina Tapatío Cholula or Tabasco Hot Sauce?
El Yucateco.
El Yucateco, yes. My favorite too. Which one though? They got different colors.
The XXX one.
It's like the darker brownie looking, almost brown.
Yeah, that's amazing flavor.
I'm running out of that one. Okay. I need to get some more. Well, you really like the spicy. That's fire.
It's a good one. We did some content with them.
I saw that. They're I saw people, those man. Questions. And
they're awesome.
You did the bomb, which I was surprised that you did.
Oh, it was spicy. It burned. But
it was bomb?
It was bomb. Well, we got to run that one back.
All right. Conchas, the concha bears, the pastries. Do you like the brown ones, the white ones, or the pink ones?
The pink ones.
What is, to you, in your opinion, the best Bolivian dish that everyone should try out?
Oh, I'm going to say tucumanas.
Tucumanas? Tucumanas. And why is that?
I think it's the great essence of Bolivia. It's a great street food. It's on the go. Super tasty. You get a cholita serving it up. You got the sauces right there. You see all the other working people out in the city. And it's a good sense of the city and it's just on the go. And it's very like salteño. You can find salteño stands, but to me, that's home. Awesome. I like the tucumanas.
Yeah. And what are three places that anybody that's never been to Bolivia, that they are planning to go one day, what is the three to you places that they must see when they go to Bolivia?
Number one, Salar de Uyuni. It's one of the most beautiful salt flats in the world. I think they even like recorded like some of Star Wars on there one time. But I was fortunate enough to go there with my family and
nice.
Man, it was beautiful. Like the sunset reflects everything. Salar de Uyuni, Lago Titicaca, one of the eight wonders of the world. It's a huge lake, but it's also beautiful out there. And then Plaza Amarillo, that's like downtown, just like the big plaza.
Yeah.
You know, they set up markets there on Sundays. You have movie theaters, restaurants. Everyone is out. You can find anything in there in the city, but
yeah.
It's very cool.
Tell me the first one, the name again.
Salar de Uyuni.
Salar de Uyuni, Carlos, you need to clip something about this one. So this one is a dry lake that every so often when it rains, there's a shallow amount of water, but it looks like it's a whole freaking mirror. Like, it's like beautiful, 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 beyond beautiful. There's so many pictures, videos, content that people put out there. And I'm talking about miles and miles. It looks like you're walking in the ocean, and the ocean is just calm as calm can be.
It's
beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Not only that, but Bolivia itself, some places that it has look like it's from another planet.
It does, man.
It does.
It does. And it's crazy because it's like, it's a landlocked, you know, it's a pretty small country, and you got Brazil, Argentina, you got some powerhouses, some might say. So I think Bolivia gets overlooked, but then whenever you actually see, it's like, man, it's so beautiful out there, man. I want to go back. I'm trying to go this year. So
yeah, be ready though, because it's so high elevation that you might have to catch your breath. You might need some oxygen there once you get out of the airplane, because it is the highest capital, La Paz, the highest capital in the world. And I didn't know that till I started looking into Bolivia. Yeah. Like, if it wasn't because you're here, I don't think I would ever just proactively look into Bolivia more and realize those things.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, I think because I was born there and then moved here, and then, you know, like, I would visit every once in a while. It's pretty expensive to go there too, so... I remember I was here in the U.S. for a while, and then went back, and I remember I was like just going upstairs. I was like,
"Why am I winded?"
I was like, "Man, I'm out of," and I probably wasn't in the best shape, but it was way more exhausting than I remember. And then I have sisters as well that like you know, they go and visit. They weren't born there, but they you know, they're soft. They got the oxygen tanks. They're not built like me.
But, we'll talk a little bit more about that part because I really want to know. Okay. What is a conspiracy theory that you saw one day that, or you heard, and you're like, oh man, this got to be true. There's no way this is true. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it is a conspiracy. I'm a big basketball nerd. I'm a big basketball fan. So the highest point scored game ever, NBA history is, Will Chamberlain supposedly scored 100 points.
100 points. Yep.
I don't think it's true. I think it's a lot of hoopla. And the reason I say this is because there's no video evidence. There's slight video evidence.
Like highlights, but not really.
Yeah, not game. Really. I think they have them like warming up, and then like some radio, which radio you can add way later. I don't buy it. And then also which makes me think the most about it is, he was a terrible free throw shooter all through his career. Horrible free throw shooter. He's one of the best players ever, but mm-hmm. a terrible free throw shooter. Like 40 to 50%. And then that night he goes, I think he hits like 27 for 30. It's like 90% to hit the perfect 100 points. I don't buy it.
That is true. It logically doesn't make sense if his average is like 40, yeah. 50%.
The counter argument is, yeah, I've heard it's, well, you know, do you think in the 60s they were going to let a black man shine like this? And I'm like, damn, you know, that's a very valid argument. But I think at that time, like, the Bob Cousys, the white folks in the NBA were already getting schooled. You know, I felt like it was game over. But I don't think that he had 100 points exactly.
Or maybe that's when he realized that he was that dominant at that time that even...
At that point, he was just like, I'm shitting
even ahead of his time at that moment in time.
But yeah.
It's a good one. I never heard of that one. That could be.
I'm very passionate about that conspiracy. Anytime I hear someone say, I'm like, oh my God, one of us.
If you have video evidence, shoot it our way. Yes, the whole game. Please. We want to see the whole game.
I want to see the whole game. No AI.
Yeah, no AI. All right, check it out. When you hear the word Latino, Latina, I don't know if you ever heard Latinx term, what comes to mind first? First thing that comes to mind?
Culture.
Culture. Awesome.
I would say culture for sure.
Do you consider yourself Latino? Do you prefer to be Boliviano, Mexicano? Digo, not Mexicano.
What did you say? No, I'm just kidding.
Hispano, humano, human. What do you prefer?
I don't know. I'm not really too picky. I'm not one that's like, don't, you know. I mean, I'll correct someone if they're like, oh, are you like Mexican, Colombian? I'll be like, no, I'm Bolivian. I let it, you know. I'll say it one time, but I am Bolivian, Latino, human. I like the human. I feel like we do miss a lot of the times. It's like, while there is a lot of culture and there's like, you know, everyone does have a background and where they're from. We're all still human, and you know, we got to make sure we treat each other as such.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're right. That's correct too. Some people like preferences, but it's amazing that you're here to tell us about Bolivia from what you know.
Yeah.
So growing up in Bolivia, let's start the interview part. So when you growing up in Bolivia for you, what is life for you like? What did it seem to you when you were there? And so, what area? Were you born in La Paz and grew up in La Paz or anywhere around?
No, I was born and lived and kind of raised, I guess. You know, I lived there till I was seven and then, you know, moved. Mm-hmm. But my time in Bolivia, it was a lot of fun. I felt like it was, I was surrounded by my family.